Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Coogan Cassis.
It's not the start of our conversation, is it? It's not the start of our conversation. You can pretend that this is the start of the interview, but we've just been going at it for about 45 minutes and you didn't turn the damn camera on. All the juicy stuff they didn't hear. So you can do the This is Coogan Cassis, but you and I both know we've been here for the best part of an hour.
Why are you being weird? Let me just do my start. You would never do that on any other outlet, ever. You would never interrupt an intro.
I don't have this relationship with anyone else, but I just want you to acknowledge that we've been at it for about an hour.
Yeah. And no one's going to know what we're talking about because obviously we're not going to talk about it. So
should I say what we've been talking about?
Not really. Not unless you... No, not...
Let them guess then. Let them guess.
No, we've been having... We have interesting discussions and heated discussions all the time. Yeah. Just haven't done it for a while. Anyway, this is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm joined by, well, originally I can't say, but you are a good trainer. One of the good trainers in the country. Adam Booth, how are you, mate?
All right, mate. You okay?
Yeah, all good, all good. You are blending in with this background, the chair, the curtains, your Caramac tan. Is it Caramac?
The little bar.
Yeah, this is a very 70s vibe going on here you got. It's like 70s porn, that's what it looks like. Not I'm an expert in 70s porn, I'm just saying.
Thank you for clarifying. Right, you have Samuel Antwi in action tonight. Let me word this correctly. Bit of a random one for you to be working with Samuel Antwi, who I've kind of seen over the years, but how did that relationship start?
Can I just go back to your fate? No one saw that perplexed expression on your face then. Whoa. When you tried to ask me that question as to how I ended up working with Sam.
Yeah.
So I've known Sam for a while because he sparred with Josh Kelly a few times and he's always given Josh some nice little problems to try and solve. And then he spoke to me a few months ago and asked if I'd help him with a couple of things. And here we are. And Boxer gave him the fight against Echo Esserman for the British title, which he lost. Which I, watching it, thought he could have won, but just didn't perform. Asked if he could come to the gym. He's got some great sparring in the gym with Josh, Abbas Barrow and Harlem Eubank. We started working together. Want to get through this fight tonight, which is a six-rounder, and hopefully get him straight back into the British title mix.
But at this level, you truly believe that Samuel is of that level of British standard, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Echo Esserman's a good fighter. Yeah. I thought Sam would win. And when I watched the fight, I was surprised that Sam just didn't perform. And there's a number of reasons for that. And we're just going to see. I think he's a really good fighter and he's a really decent dude as well. And he's great sparring in the gym. And so I want to see if I can help him achieve his potential.
In action later on, live on Sky Sports. Harlem Eubank in action on Channel 5 next Friday at York Hall. We're still waiting. We're waiting.
For what?
For Harlem. Yeah.
What are you waiting for? For Harlem to what?
You know what I mean. We're waiting for Harlem. Like, he had those fights 2 or 3 years ago. McDonough, etc. And these guys that he was very impressive against. Do you think kind of things have been a little bit up and down in terms of opponents and kind of progression for Haaland or not?
No, not at all. So he beat Danny Darko and McDonough in two good competitive fights, good performances. He's now got his own home promoter in Wasserman. He's had 1 year with them and five fights. And in those fights, he has evolved as a fighter. He's become a main event fighter on Channel 5. So now he's getting exposure that goes along with his talent, desire and family name. And it's now time for him this year to get four fights in as main event on Channel 5 with progression towards significant championship level before the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't saying it's a negative thing. It was almost
a bit of a criticism.
No, it wasn't a criticism because I'm a big fan of Haaland Eubank and I always have been ever since the first time I watched him box. I just mean, is it the stage now, those fights with Darko and McDonough were a while ago now, where he is now, those kind of fights, take notice fights that maybe also, not for, just for his progression, but gives him kind of the public attention as well. But you've just answered that anyway.
Yeah, and like I said, like every fighter turns pro with different levels of amateur experience. Haaland had hardly any. He's had to learn on the job, in the shadows, which he has done. He's evolved as a fighter in the gym and in the fights that he's had and the challenges that he's had. And like I said, this year is going to be the year now where we see the levels that he can bounce up into.
Okay, live in action, Channel 5 next week at your call. Do you miss training a heavyweight?
Not at all, no.
Like, so I got to wear them stilts because you're quite... You used to wear them stilt things.
No, they were like gothic boots with a 7-inch platform. That's what they were.
I wonder what you were going to say then.
They were gothic boots. You talk about the ones that I wore when Hay Fought Valuev. Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit of an extreme example, to be honest with you. Valuev, who was about 12 foot tall.
Yeah, now wearing those boots isn't my problem. My problem is the heavyweights hit hard, you know, and as I get older, my little brittle bones and muscles get achy. And I love playing golf. So if I'm going to wreck my arms, I'd rather do it with guys that aren't heavyweights.
Because you've had spells, haven't you? You had a little spell with David Price. You've had a spell with Mike Perez as well. But, yeah, just... You know, David Haye was that good. I probably could have trained David Haye, to be honest.
Thanks for that. There goes my body of work.
No, but you don't miss that at all, no.
I haven't really given it that much thought. I don't necessarily choose the weight of the fighters that end up working with me. It's not like that. But I just happen to have a bunch of guys that sort of range between 10 and 11 stone at the moment.
No, it just would have been interesting after kind of the Haye era with you to have seen you work.
Why don't you get your ass out of bed in the morning, start training, become my next heavyweight sensation then?
Do you think, we've had this conversation before, do you think you could get me to area title level?
Forget area title. There's a whole new world of boxing that you could dive into.
Oh, would you train me for Misfits?
I'd train you to fight KSI.
Absolutely not, no.
Jake Paul?
Why? Why?
I'm not a boxer. I never pretend to be. But, don't know if the figures were right. Still not. I'm 40. Come on, mate. I don't need to see a video of me getting knocked out by someone who runs a cooking channel for my daughter to see that in the years to come. On the internet forever.
Who runs a cooking channel?
No, I'm just using an example. Like, you're famous for anything now, aren't
you? I'm matching you against Delia Smith. I could do. Try to.
Ainsley Harriet. Josh Kelly. What's the situation with him currently?
Working on a fight date. Next fight date, he should fight two or three times this year. Had a nice break after the Troy Williamson fight because although he only boxed three times last year, he actually trained through five camps because a couple fell out. So I gave him a break after the Troy fight. He's back in the gym, started sparring, and we're looking at working towards a date, hopefully sort of May time.
After that period out for Josh, which obviously you've spoken about and Josh has spoken about, it must be really satisfying to have Josh Kelly back in this mix now. And the fight with Williamson in December last year was a big pressure fight for him because there was a lot of people that tipped Williamson to beat him and going there. it was a pressure fight for him, which he come through. But it must be good to have kind of Josh Kelly, people talking about Josh Kelly again.
It's actually nice just having Josh Kelly being Josh Kelly again. And, you know, he's spoken publicly about the obstacles and the battles he had to overcome that had nothing to do with his ability as a fighter. It was all about him as a young man. And so, you know, to have been involved and with him through that journey has been, you know, real, we've bonded much more, and I understand so much more about him now as he's understanding more about himself and what it's going to, you know, we say all the time that fighting's 90% mental, that anyone can get fit, but to actually perform under the spotlights, it's mental. And it was the mental side of things that Josh was struggling with away from the gym and away from the ring that ultimately played out. And so, you know, over the that period of time and watching him evolve and mature and develop an understanding of himself mentally and emotionally led to the start of his next chapter. And the start was the performance against Troy, where he's now starting to show everyone what we see all the time in the gym.
Am I the only one that still looks at Josh Kelly and Conor Benn is still a potential fight? I actually still like that fight. I know Conor Benn's obviously got his own situations going on and the opponents, whether it's Eubank, Brooke, whoever he's going to fight next, but am I the only one that actually still likes that fight between Josh Kelly and Conor Benn?
No, I mean, if that fight got offered, I'd take it without any hesitation. Eddie, for a long time, was really hot on that fight, and now he's not. But, you know, Conor Benn's got his own trajectory, his own life, his own problems to sort out. And, you know, Josh Kelly's career doesn't evolve around one opponent. It's about Josh being Josh. But, yeah, if I was offered that fight, I'd take it in a heartbeat. And I think it would be an entertaining build-up and a fantastic match-up. But I'm not too sure it will happen.
It's mad, isn't it? Because a few years ago, I remember literally the only talk around any fight for Conor Benn or for Josh Kelly was each other. Like, it was relentless for a while, and then obviously situations happened. Obviously, Josh had that fight with Avanesian, but that was the fight of that division here in this country, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I've learned to never say never in this business, right? So, or it might not be now, but you never know what's down the line.
Now, May 27th. Hoping to have a new world champion for yourself and for Ireland and for everyone.
And for Mick.
Yeah, and for Mick as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, big opportunity for Mick. Obviously, we've seen Lopez last time out. Was that his last fight? It was, wasn't it? Yeah, against Warrington. Yeah, difficult fight.
There are no easy routes to a belt in the featherweight division. It's a stacked division. You look at it. You want to be world champion, you're going to know there's going to be, you know, some world champions over the years have had some touches along the way to pick up a belt. That's not happening in the featherweight division at the moment. You know, and you've got to, I respect all these guys because they're all, you know, fighting each other. And look at the fight that Mick had with Lee Wood, fight of the year here and fight of the year in America as well. Warrington's in the mix, but all of a sudden gets beat by Lopez, who's proven to be an absolute handful at championship level, and that's the opportunity that's presented itself to Mick.
Interesting because, yeah, I think the first note of Lopez in this country really was when he come and beat Isaac Lowe at York Hall 2 or 3 years ago. But then obviously after the Warrington win received, and rightfully so as well, that name is a handful for anyone. So, yeah, Mick's got to be on it on 27th of May.
Yeah, but Mick kind of mastered the art of being on it, so to speak, and he's got galvanized a lot of experience over the last year and a half or last year, and we are supremely excited and phenomenally confident that he becomes IBF world champion on May 27th.
Live on BT Sport
and Top Rank ESPN.
Abbas Baru, talk to me. What's the situation with him currently?
So Abbas had shoulder surgery last year, which has kept him out of the ring for a long time. He's on the undercard of Harlem show next Friday. He's mandatory for the EBU against Milan Pratt, and we expect that to either go to purse bids or get agreed pretty soon after next Friday.
Okay. Rumours are that Shannon Courtney will challenge Nina Hughes in the summer. June the 10th, I think there's been a date that's been touted. Can you tell us anything more about that?
Yeah, it's definitely the fight that's been offered and accepted. There's nothing else to discuss other than what date it's going to fall on. And it sort of bounces from April to May and possibly now June, but it will be her next fight.
Yeah. Obviously, she's been out injured for a while, so how's that kind of progression gone regarding her injury?
Well, actually, the timeout's probably helped her because it was a cruciate reconstruction that she had, ironically, happened in sparring with Nina Hughes.
Correct. Yes, I actually did know that. Yeah.
Ironically or coincidentally, which I think I used the wrong word, but yeah, she was sparring with Nina, went down like a sack of spuds, screaming and holding her knee, and it turned out that she'd ripped her cruciate ligament.
But very interesting fight. Obviously, Shannon's already had that belt. So, yeah, Nina Hughes did very well out in Dubai, when was it, a few months ago, to capture that belt. So this should be very interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a war, that one. It's evenly matched.
Have I missed any of your fighters?
Well, now you're putting me on the spot. Who do you mention? Do you mention Josh, Harlem, Mick, Sam, Abbas, and Shannon?
No. We good? You ain't signed no one in the last 40 minutes?
You?
I couldn't deal with you. If I was training for like a...
You couldn't deal with me?
No, I think you'd drive me mad. If I was training for one of these crossover boxing fights, which I probably could...
Is that what we're calling it now? Crossover boxing?
What would you... Or influencer boxing? I'm not an influencer, but I'm saying crossover boxing.
You say you're not an influencer?
No, I'm not an influencer.
Didn't you say that you've had 1 billion views or something?
Yeah, but I'm not an influencer, am I?
Are you sponsored?
Yes.
Bye. Sports Direct.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, always like to get your opinions on other subjects because you're an expert in jack of all trades. What is it? Jack of all trades, master of none. What is that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the saying.
Is that you? I'm sorry. what have you made of this situation with Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk? Because it seemed to be in a mess and a lot of public negotiations via social media from both sides, from Usyk's team, him, and also Tyson Fury's side, but it's looking likely that we're not going to see this undisputed heavyweight clash that I'm sure you want to see, I want to see, and the whole world wants to see. What have you made of it?
I haven't actually watched that much of it. All I know is that it was agreed at 70-30. That surprised me. and then it ain't happening for some reason. I was surprised that it was agreed at 70-30, and I'm disappointed that it's not happening because that would have been a legacy fight.
The much talks about 70-30 split in favour of Tyson Fury. You were surprised that Usyk was going to take 30%, yeah?
Yes, I can understand Tyson's approach to that. That I'm the one that's got the big following. I'm the draw. You're not the financial draw, which is why you're coming to this country for your bigger fights. So I can understand, commercially, that was his stance. But in the same token, Tyson's got the opportunity to have all the belts. And I think once you've got more money than you need, you can still make a ton load of more money, but also have all the belts. Be a shame if it didn't happen, because Tyson could have all the belts.
What is your view on who actually wins that fight if it was to happen? It's looking unlikely for April 29th. It could happen in the future, but what is your view on who actually wins that fight?
I think Tyson's too big, too tough and now in the heavyweight division. You see him getting dropped by big shots by the hardest punches in the heavyweight division and getting up. He's big, mobile, long arms, knows how to impose himself, can win pretty and can win ugly. And I think he's savvy of knowing how to manage different moments and settle the man down in front of him, whether that's nullifying him long or leaning on him and mauling him up close. I think that would have taken its toll on Usyk in the second half of the fight.
How much of an awkward fighter, in your opinion, is Alexander Usyk? He looks a nightmare for anyone.
Yeah, but I don't think he's as awkward as Tyson. Tyson's arms are longer than any heavyweight I've seen. And Usyk is a polished performer of the highest grade, but he's a cruiserweight. And I know full well the difference between a world-class cruiserweight and a genuine, big, super heavyweight who's proved himself to be top of the pile in that division. And in that fight, Tyson would have proved that there is a reason why we have weight divisions.
Okay. Where does Anthony Joshua fit into all this? Obviously, he's fighting Jermaine Franklin next Saturday at the O2. Where does he fit into the picture at the moment?
He fits right there. Like, he's only a moment in time away from being back in at the top level again. I think he's done a really smart thing in the way that he has moved and changed his training setup and the fight that he's coming back with as well. I think he's done that perfectly. And he is there, right? He's an established heavyweight, former world champion, lost his belts recently to Usyk. And I think with some improvements and some adjustments, he's going to be in the biggest fights again.
And what do you think about him working now with his third trainer in his last three fights?
What do I think of it? It's a risk, but it's a big risk that can give big rewards or prove to be a big mistake. But like, I'm a firm believer time shows everything. And I think he's with a coach in a gym environment that's going to help him. Good fighters need good fighters around them. And in that gym, he's certainly got that. And I think that, you know, if he can absorb that, I think he'll humble himself enough to be coachable and taught. You could see some effective improvements. You won't see necessarily drastic changes in him because he's been what he's been for so long. But sometimes you only have to make some subtle little adjustments and they have quite significant outcome changes.
What can Derek James offer to that, the subtle changes? We know, obviously, it's not going to be an element of completely changing his style. Why would he do that? We know his attributes. But what can Derek James, from what you know of Derek James or seen of Derek James, offer to that?
I don't know enough about Derek James. I've never met him. I've never worked with him. So you'd need to ask him that. But he's working at the highest level as a professional coach. And when you're working continually at that level, you see things and you implement things. And the important thing is that AJ respects what he's been told enough to make the move there. It's going to be interesting to see what those little subtle changes are from a coaching perspective. It's going to be fascinating.
Just a general question here. Does it matter that if you're kind of a world-level trainer and you've worked with multiple champions, etc., and if you haven't worked with someone specifically like a heavyweight, but you are working with a heavyweight, do you understand what I'm asking? Is there an argument that if he hasn't, or a trainer hasn't worked with a heavyweight in the past, does that have anything to do with actually how that relationship would go?
No, I don't think so. Like, a good coach that knows his craft should be able to work with anyone. I think it's harder the other way around. I think it's harder to go from, if you've only worked with heavyweights, to smaller guys, yeah, because you're working at a completely different tempo. It's easier as a coach to slow down a tempo and be more deliberate. It's harder to speed it up. You know, like if you go from, example, a David Hay to a Ryan Burnett, from my experience, there's a big adjustment to be made. Or an Andy Lee to a Ryan Burnett, yeah, big adjustment, because there you've got a certain rhythm, a certain tempo, and certain skill sets to someone that seems to be working 3 or 4 times at the rate. And as a coach, that can be it's a real head spinner, especially on the pads and when you're trying to break down and analyze technique, because it's a lot easier to see in heavyweights because the movements are a bit slower and you can read them easier. When smaller fighters are that quick, it's almost imperceptible sometimes, the timing that you're working with. That's much harder. So I think going from sort of super welters and middleweights to a heavyweight is probably a more comfortable way of doing it.
Thank you. That's just a question that I wanted answered, to be honest with you. Well, what about Deontay Wilder? Where does he fit into the picture?
Deontay's one right hand away from being on everyone's lips again, isn't he? He is. I mean, the fights that he's had with Tyson and his knockout percentage and his personality, his character, everything about him just screams that you might not be talking about him now, but one shot on the chin of someone and he becomes a name on everyone's lips again.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously, he's had that one fight since the last Fury loss to Robert Hellenius, which he, expectedly or not, knocked him out emphatically. But he's a big player still in this division, isn't he? And I think that he's obviously been a bit inactive, but yeah, you could match him up with literally any of these fighters to produce a great fight. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what if you matched AJ with him? Are you going to watch that?
Yeah.
People are going to pay for that, right?
Yeah.
What if you match Usyk against him? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? So he's in there, and maybe Andy Ruiz Jr. becomes a factor again in heavyweight division as well. So there are some, you know, mouth-watering fights to be made. I just hope they get made. One of them, probably the biggest one of them, was Tyson against Usyk. If that doesn't happen, that will probably be the biggest shame in the division. But testament to division that we could quite quickly get over that if we end up with AJ v Fury or Fury v Wilder. AJ v Wilder. We could quickly forget about AJ and Usyk. That's how stacked it seems to be at the moment.
Daniel Dubois. That's the...
Hang on a second.
Go on.
This is bad, man. What about Joe Joyce?
We're coming to Joe Joyce.
The one that no one wants to talk about. Joe Joyce. People don't want to talk about him so much that me, who used to be his coach, forgets to mention his name. He's the one that everyone knows. If I'm fighting Joe Joyce, I need to get well paid because the risk and the gain here needs to match up. Joe, even if he's 55 years old, is going to be a handful for anyone. He's kind of like our version of George Foreman, isn't he? Just this relentless, heavy-handed, immovable freak of nature.
It's a shame, I keep saying this, it's a shame that Joe Joyce isn't 9-10 years younger, isn't it?
It's a shame, yeah, but
you don't understand what I mean.
Yeah, I do, yeah, but it's probably more of a shame that he's not spoken about more, that he's not commercially a little bit more viable. And remember, in my opinion, he won that final in the Olympics, right? Yeah. He beat Yoka. So we could have had an Olympic gold medalist off the back of those IEBA judges. So AJ wins the gold medal and becomes the heavyweight starlet. Joe should have been given the Olympic gold medal and become the next one. And then we would be talking about him in a different light, but we're not. I just hope that Joe gets the fights that he deserves. But I know all of them are going to look at Joe and think, it's not the fight I'd choose to have.
I don't blame him. He's in action, obviously, in 2 weeks' time against Zhang on Frank Warren's show, live on BT Sport. My question there before that, but yeah, you're rightfully...
I steadied you up there, didn't I?
No, I was going to mention every heavyweight in the world before we finished. Daniel Dubois, this is a potential fight now for Alexander Usyk. Is Daniel Dubois ready for an Alexander Usyk?
I haven't studied Daniel enough. From what I've seen so far, no. Save for the fact that it's the heavyweight division and the fact that Daniel's got fantastic static balance and can throw a mean straight right hand. And if Usyk moved into that, it's a type of shot in the heavyweight division that can be a fight changer. If in absence of that shot landing, I think that maybe Daniel just needs a little bit more time to develop as a fighter before, you know, sharing the ring with a master craftsman.
But obviously opportunity in boxing, when it presents itself, sometimes you have to weigh that up, and if that's the option at the time, the best option, then sometimes you have to take that, yeah?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And if anything, like this type of fight for Daniel, it's a no-lose situation. Because if he fights Usyk and loses, people expect him to lose. If he fights and wins, all of a sudden he's opened up a significant future. So I would certainly understand why Daniel would take it. In a sporting context, I'd say you're probably not ready for it. But in a management context, what you got to lose?
Yeah. Dillian White obviously returned after he's lost to Fury last year with a win over Jermaine Franklin, who's fighting Anthony Joshua next week. But he's still relevant in this heavyweight division, surely.
Yeah, but I've not heard much about Dillian lately. Can you enlighten me?
Well, I can't really tell you any more on potentially when he's going to fight. There was talk of him fighting AJ in the summer, etc. But I haven't really heard anything, whether it's from Hearn or whoever, to suggest when he'll actually make a return. His last fight was now 5 months ago. So, yeah, I think we're kind of waiting. But as an active person in this heavyweight mix, he's surely in there, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think so. But then also, so is Andy Ruiz Jr. as well. You know, there's a lot of British heavyweights that we're talking about. But on the other side of the pond, it's Deontay and, for me, Andy Ruiz Jr. as well. It's a lit division. We just need the fights made.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I do appreciate that you need to go and sort your hair out, put your best clothes on to head down to the arena shortly. What?
No, I'm just wondering when you're going to try and make the ending all weird.
It's not going to be weird because we're just going to end it. A little handshake.
Well, that's weird for a start.
Why?
Because you've got weird hands.
Huh?
You've got weird hands.
Adam Booth, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. I do like talking to you, like off camera. These ones are weird, but off camera, yeah, I do like talking to you.
Should we get back to the discussion we had before you turned it on then?
No, it was a private conversation.
We can go back to it once you turn the camera off.
If you want, if you find it necessary. I think I said what I said. I did.
No, you didn't. You went into your bunker.
You're a sheep. A sheep. Follow. I'm joking.
No,
calm down.
No, that's an interesting assessment. I'd like to hear your
reasoning behind that.
Let's turn the camera off and I'll explain what I mean.
You're going to explain to me privately why I'm a sheep?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn your camera off.
Adam Booth, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. Best of luck with Samuel Entwistle tonight, and I'm sure we'll grab a word with him and yourself after his fight.
Sweet.
Oh!
Sports Social Podcast Network.